We are so thrilled to have you on this Sunday morning. I tell you what, it is just getting sweeter and sweeter being in this building every single week. I tell you what, this is our second week today, and we are loving the new house. What do you guys think? Yeah, we're so grateful to God, and glad that you're here. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and hope that you got a chance to spend some time with some family and some friends, and got to watch some football and eat some food and do all that. And we're glad you're here, too. Being here for week two of Done Deal. Last week we kicked off a series about knowing for sure where we stand with God. And we're excited today. We're excited about this. I want to ask you a couple questions. And you don't have to answer them out loud, but I want you to think about them for just a moment. What is better? Is it the iPad or is it the tablet? Is it boxers or is it briefs? Okay? Is it big dogs or is it little dogs? You know, some people think that if you don't have a dog that weighs at least 100 pounds, it's not really a dog, it's a squirrel, some version of a squirrel. What is better? Well, I was thinking about some of the hair bands from the 80s. You know, I love 80s music. And I was trying to think about who's the best hair band. Was it Bon Jovi? Was it Guns N' Roses? Was it Poison? You know, who had the best hair band? And then if you fast forward a little bit, you have the boy bands. Is it Backstreet? Is it NSYNC? And a few of us in this room might even say, no, it was 98 Degrees. Well, these are all fun things to think about, right? But they're really pretty trivial. Doesn't really matter that much. It's not really significant what you think about this or that. And in regards to the things I just mentioned. But today we want to talk about something that is extremely important, and that is where we stand with God. In fact, it's the most important decision that a person will ever make in their entire life is that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And we want to talk about that this morning because it is not trivial. And last week we had a fantastic Sunday. In fact, 10 people committed their lives to Jesus Christ here in our services. Is that not awesome to think about today? We celebrate that. Fantastic. And 10 people said, man, I want to know for sure where I stand with God. And they committed their lives to the Lord. And you know, spiritual confidence is something that is so, so, so important. When you are confident where you stand with God, it will push fear out of your life. It will begin to help you understand the love of God. It will help you overcome guilt and so many other things. So what we're talking about today is extremely important if you're going to have the abundant life that God truly, truly, truly wants you to have. And last week we talked about how eternal life is that life without end. It's when our physical body dies, but our spirit lasts forever. And every Christian anticipates life eternal because we get to spend eternity with God in heaven. And there's nothing more exciting or fantastic than that. But last week we talked about eternal life is for free. It's a free gift from God. It's not something that's earned or deserved. We talked about how it is for me. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we also talked about how it is forever. It starts and it never stops. And so today we're building on what we began last week. And I would encourage you to get on the internet and check out that message from last week if you didn't get a chance to listen to it. But today I want to turn our attention to the book of 1 John. We're going to go through and ask four very important questions about how we can discern where we are with God. Because sometimes we may think that we know God, and yet our life may indicate something differently, and we need to understand what the Bible has to say to us about this from the book of 1 John. So I want to encourage you to take out your notes, and you can write down these questions today as we look at these four spiritual vital signs. Now, really, our whole theme is centered around 1 John 5:13. The scripture says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to be certain. God wants you to be sure. And you notice how belief and knowledge are woven together in this passage. He says, know, not hope for, or have a good shot at, or maybe, but that you may know. And some people think when you talk about spiritual confidence and knowing for sure where you stand with God, some people think that that's arrogant. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, he's like, Ryan, that is so arrogant to think that you would be certain about where you would spend eternity. And the more I talked to him, the reason that he thought I was arrogant is because he thought that I was going to go to heaven and have life eternal because I thought I was just such a great guy. And I began to explain to him, if it was just up to me, I would be in bad trouble. But I serve a gracious God who chose to love me in spite of the junk in my life. And that's the same God that you serve as well. It's the same God. So it's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do in us. This is not arrogance. And other people say, well, we'll just leave that up to the theologians, right? I mean, that's like splitting hairs. That's too complicated to understand. I mean, how can I really know? And yet, in spite of that, God wants us to be certain. These things I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. So here's the first question. You got to write this down. Is Jesus Christ the leader of your life? Is he the leader? Is he the boss? Am I in charge of my life, or is God in charge of my life? Now, when we're a follower of Jesus, Jesus is the leader. When we're not a follower of Jesus, I'm the leader. And so we need to ask ourselves this question today to discern, where am I with God? Is Jesus the leader of my life? Is he the boss? Every new follower of Christ needs to wear a sign around the neck that says, under new management, right? Under new management. That's what we are. We have a new manager. You see those signs up, you know, around town. People are like, oh, we're not that old store that used to be here. We don't do things like those guys. Under new management. They're sending you a message, aren't they? And God wants us to be under new management. And he wants us to not just give lip service to Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a culture where a lot of people say they're a Christian, but their lifestyle dictates something very different, doesn't it? And 1 John speaks of this in chapter 4, 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And I love the New American Standard Version. It uses a different word there. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So our life is constantly about confessing and acknowledging. It's not something that we just did when we were 9 years old, but it's something that we're always doing. We're continuing to do that. You know, I hope that you don't look at your salvation as something that, oh, you know, I did that when I was 6, you know, or when I was a little kid, you know, I did this, but you know, since then, I don't know, you know, whatever it means. Jesus is not really the leader of your life. And you have to ask yourself, did you really meet Jesus? Because when Jesus shows up, he begins to change everything. He begins to change the way we think, begins to change our mentality, our attitudes, our relationships, and everything. But for many people, God is something out there. And what the scripture is saying to us today is that God wants to come in here. He wants to be that God that we can know, so that God that's in our heart. And when Jesus is the Lord of our life, when he's the boss, Jesus is the filter. Okay, a lot of people don't have a filter on their life. Jesus is the filter. He's the filter. He's the one that's filtering out the junk in our lives. So I was talking with a friend this week about air filters. I don't know how the conversation came up, but it reminded me that I needed to go check my air filter. Now, they say you're supposed to check your air filter like once a quarter, right? And I realized I had lived in my house for 5 years and I had never changed the air filter. Do you guys want to see what it looked like? I went down to check it out. It looked like that. That's disgusting, isn't it? I am so embarrassed. I'm about to have an allergy attack up here right now just holding this thing up here. After 5 years, this thing was mangled. I was wondering why my house was so dusty, you know? Golly, where did this dust come from? I was wondering, why was my electric bill so high? Because I was trying to pull all that current through all those contaminants, you know? It's pretty nasty, isn't it? It's pretty disgusting to think about. I'm just sharing my stuff with you today. I've been starting this church. I haven't had time to change my air filter. Anyway, that's another story. When you're a Christian, you have an air filter. You have a filter on your life. You have the same stuff flowing through your life, all the same temptations, all the same struggles that people that don't know the Lord have. But the difference is you have a filter. And the filter is Jesus. And when Jesus is there, he begins to filter out those kind of things in our lives because he is Lord. He's the leader of our lives. And I love this idea of confessing Jesus as Lord, you know, acknowledging him. We Christians should be more outspoken about our faith. We need to talk more with people about the Lord. I'm not talking about being obnoxious, but sometimes we are so nervous and so apprehensive about sharing with people the greatest joy of all. We ought to be talking to people about what God is doing in our lives. We need to be bringing our friends to church. And by the way, Christmas Eve services are coming up here in just a few weeks. And this is going to be unbelievable. Let me just tell you that. And I'm hoping you're going to bring some friends that need to know the Lord to be here on the Christmas Eve services. There'll be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday services, all kinds of stuff going on. We'll let you know the dates and times in just a little bit. But it's going to be unbelievable. What an opportunity we have to share the greatest message of all around Christmas time. I'm already getting excited about that. Now, several years ago, I was reading an article, and it was an article about Janet Jackson. Do you guys remember Janet Jackson? Pop stars get old really fast, don't they? But Janet Jackson, like, she was like hot stuff, you know, back in the day. And this article was talking about how she had a private marriage to this guy named Rene Elizondo. I think he was like a backup dancer or something for her. They got married. They were together 10 years and nobody knew about it. Can you believe that? That's amazing, isn't it? They lived in separate homes. They were never together in public, you know? And they kept their relationship totally on the down low. It wasn't even on the down low. It was like off the radar. Nobody knew about it. 10 years of marriage. You know what they said? They said eventually they began to drift apart. You know, go figure. I mean, really? Babe, I cannot be seen with you in public, you know? At some point, you just have to wonder, I mean, how does this work? You know, this is crazy. And you have to wonder, what kind of relationship did they have in the first place if it could be kept so, so private? That's no way to have a marriage. And I want to tell you, that's no way to be a follower of Jesus. Because when Christ is in your life, people begin to see it. They begin to notice it. They begin to acknowledge it. You begin to share about it. Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? Kim Kardashian, she couldn't stay married for a week, you know, and everybody knew about her wedding. I don't know how you do it for 9 years, but somebody did. But eventually the wheels fell off. God wants us to have a relationship with him that is not 100% private. It starts private, but it becomes public, doesn't it? And when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, what do we begin to do? We begin to obey his teachings and instructions. Now, this is the second question we have to look at ourselves. Am I really a follower of Jesus? Do I follow the teachings of the Bible? Now, there's none of us in this room that are 100% perfect, myself included. Nobody bats 1,000. But generally speaking, if we say that Jesus is really the Lord of our lives, shouldn't we want to follow what he said to do? It makes sense, doesn't it? Look at chapter 5, verse 3. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Sometimes we can look at the commands of God and say, man, that is such a burden. What a whip. Why would God say to do this or to not do that? Listen, when you love God, sometimes you don't understand why God said to do this or to do that. I don't understand everything in the Bible. But you know what? The closer that I get to God, the more I begin to understand what God is saying. And I'm sure there are other things that I will never understand, but I love the Lord. And I know many of you do too. And his commandments are not a burden. This is love for God, to obey his commands. So if we love God, we'll do what he says. And you notice in chapter 2, verse 5, the scripture goes on and it says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know that we are in him. So our commitment to the Lord cannot be measured by words alone. Our actions always speak louder than our words. We have to look at our actions. Man, am I following what the Bible teaches? Now, we live in a time where we approach our spirituality and our relationship with God kind of like eating at a salad bar. And I'm convinced that the salad bar is that place in the restaurant where everything that people will not eat on an entree gets chopped up into small little bits, and hey, we'll put it on the salad bar, you know? Artichokes. Do people really eat those things? Bean sprouts, all that stuff. Iridescent pasta. You know, funky corn, pea salad. You're like, that stuff's not human. Put it on the salad bar. People eat it. But when you go through the salad bar, what do? You make choices. I'll have a little cauliflower. I'm going to skip the broccoli. I'm going to put extra carrots. And then you get to the dressing, right? And there are more flavors of ranch dressing than any dressing on the planet. Avocado ranch. Buttermilk ranch, Baja ranch, barbecue ranch, ranch with light sodium, ranch that's low fat, ranch that's whatever you can think of in the world, fill in the blank, ranch, 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 ranch. And you can pick and you can choose. And every person's salad, it will be totally different from somebody else's salad in the room. You know, there's no two salads that are exactly the same. Isn't that the truth? But listen, when we follow Jesus, that's not like eating at the salad bar. Oh, I'll take this. I like that command. I love that teaching. I'm going to skip that part. The Bible says his commands are not burdensome. And that we love God. We show our love for God by our what? Our actions, by what we do. And so our life is this beautiful reflection of what we say our faith is. Now, it's easy to look at that and say, Ron, I would love to follow the Bible, but where do I start? Because there's a whole lot of stuff in the Bible. And that's totally true, there is. Lots of commands, lots of teachings, lots of books of the Bible. Where do I start? Listen, you just start one day at a time. You know, just open up your Bible and read a verse and work on that day. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to do everything the way you would like to do it immediately. Just start to work on it day by day by day. Listen, if you will build your life around following the teachings of Jesus and just taking a little step forward every single day, you will be shocked. You will be amazed at how much you will grow spiritually. It will blow your mind. So just start where you are. Take a verse from the message today, from church. Write that down. Work on that in your life this week. And you just start growing and taking those steps, and God will lead you exactly to where you need to be. So are we obeying his teachings, his instructions? And then do you love other Christians? Do you love other Christians? Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to love other Christians. This is what 1 John says. And notice the scripture here in chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Woo. How do you really feel about that, God? For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. So if you can't love the people that you see, how can you love the God that you've not beheld? How is that possible? And then in chapter 2, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother really lives in the darkness. So if we have this real faith, authentic, bona fide, the real deal, that kind of faith, we will love other people. And love is the crowning virtue of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul talks about how we can have knowledge, we can have expertise, we can have experience, we can have wisdom. But listen, if we don't have love, all that stuff means nothing. So love is the greatest indicator. Man, I want our church to be known as a church of love. And I'm sure people will talk about our church and say other things about our church, which are great. And I'm sure that we will be known for other things as well. But listen, the greatest compliment of a church, the greatest compliment of a Christian is that somebody would say, they are such loving people. They love each other. And they love the Lord. What a great compliment. It's this indicator that we've really met the Lord. So do you have that kind of love in your heart? Now, I know Christians can be kind of weird sometimes. That may sound strange to have a pastor say that. Christians, don't be weird. I've been in church a long time. I grew up, I was an 8-year-old boy when I committed my life to Christ. I've been in church a long time. Been around lots of kinds of church people. I love Christians, and Christian people, I'm convinced, do more good for the world than anybody. The hospitals, the orphanages, the feeding of the hungry, we're for all of that. And I love being a Christian. I'm proud to be a Christian for a lot of reasons. But sometimes Christians can get a little bit strange, a little bit weird. But we need to love people even when they're weird, and hopefully they'll love us when we get a little bit weird from time to time, right? We ought to love one another. So we love one another by encouraging each other, by challenging each other. We love each other by serving one another. And love ought to be what is seen in our heart. Love. So is your heart filled with love? It's a great question. Number 4, does sin make you miserable? Now again, these are spiritual vital signs. This is what it means to follow Jesus. The Bible says, when you follow Jesus, these things will be in your life. Does sin make you miserable? Look at chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Now, does this mean that a Christian never sins? No. That we would all be in trouble, right? Be toast, right? If that was the case. What's the Bible talking about? It's living a life that's constantly characterized by sin. Doesn't mean that we don't have some mistakes along the way, but it means that we begin to progress in Christ-likeness. We begin to become more and more like Jesus. I hope that if you've been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, that your life looks a lot more like Jesus today than it did a few years ago. It should. And we're on that journey. We're progressing. But I believe as a Christian, it's kind of like when we sin, it's kind of like eating that fourth meal of the day at Taco Bell. 11:30 at night, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, it tasted so good in the moment, but you're going to pay for it later. About 3 a.m., you're going to be in the bathroom calling Taco Bell some terrible names because of what it's done to you. But it was great for a moment, wasn't it? That's what sin does. Sin looks good. Oh my goodness. Whoa. Gobble that up. And then we begin to feel bad later, don't we? That's what sin does. And you know, as a Christian, you should have a conscience. A lot of people don't have that filter on their life. They don't know Jesus. They sin and they're like, so who cares? As a Christian, you're like, man, I kind of feel bad about that. That's called the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we're kind of walking along and then somebody taps us on the shoulder, you know, hey man, you shouldn't have said that or you shouldn't have thought that. And you're like, oh man, doggone it. And you kind of turn around and you start going the other direction. We need that in our lives. I'm convinced the happiest people on the planet are people that know God and have this relationship with Jesus. But I will tell you this, some of the most miserable people on the planet are people that are Christians that are living lives characterized by sin, and they are totally, completely miserable. And God's hope for us is that we would see our sin, we would be miserable, and that we would turn back to Him. That's the goal of this whole thing. So we can thank God that we get miserable sometimes because we need to be miserable to get back to the Lord. That's why in Psalm 51, David is so miserable because he had just committed adultery. You know, if you could commit adultery and not feel bad about it, there's a problem, right? And David begins to turn his heart back to God out of his own misery. Some of us may be struggling in this way today. You're miserable. God is bringing you back. He's bringing you back to him. He's redirecting you the other way so that you can follow him. Isn't that good? Now, I'm allergic to dairy and gluten. Do we have any gluten allergy people in this room? Oh, my brothers. All right, all over here. There's like two of us. Yeah. You guys are like, oh, y'all are the weirdos. When I go out to eat, I order gluten-free, and I'm like, give the extra gluten to her. You know, I send it over to my wife. It's really good. But I was eating sushi with some pastors in another state a few years ago, and I walked in. The first question I said was, is this gluten-free sushi? And the guys were like, oh, yeah, man, gluten-free all the way. I want to tell you, after I left there, it was not gluten-free. The next morning, I woke up, my face was totally swollen, I had rashes all over it, I looked like one of those characters out of Star Trek. It was bad, and I was supposed to speak to a group of pastors looking like this, you know? I was like, man, I need a makeup crew or something like that to help me. My cheeks were all swollen, unbelievable. I have to be careful with the gluten. When I begin to put that stuff in my body, weird things begin to happen. I will not elaborate on that, but you guys kind of feel what I'm saying today a little bit. It's not good. The little detector goes off in my body. I always know when I've eaten it too. There's no surprises. It's not good. The Christian has a little detector that goes off in their life when they sin. It's called the Holy Spirit. God is redirecting us back to him when we begin to struggle. And so, are we living a life that's characterized by sin? Do we have that conscience that's there? These are indicators of what we're talking about today. And maybe you're like, you're answering no to some of these questions. You're like, man, I don't feel bad. I, you know, don't follow the teachings of the Bible and blah, 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 blah. And today, you want to know God. You know, you may have thought when you came in, I'm a Christian. And now we're talking about what a Christian is. And you may be thinking, I'm probably not a Christian. But maybe you'd like to be. And it all begins by opening our heart to Jesus Christ and committing our life to him this morning. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that in just a few moments. And in your prayer and in your confession to God, you'll be saying, I want Christ to be the leader of my life. I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to put my faith in the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose from the grave on the third day. And by putting my faith in him, I can have life eternal. Now, just to wrap this whole thing up, we could turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that of not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. In other words, salvation, again, it's a free gift from God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Totally true. But notice the very, very next verse. What does the Bible talk about? Look at verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you cannot pull these things apart. There is faith and there is deeds. Our deeds don't make us right with God, but they show that we are right with God. And when these two concepts are wed together beautifully as they are in Ephesians chapter 2, we begin to live a healthy, dynamic, powerful, spiritual life that is filled with the life of God.